Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Yanme Bhagavata Toditam Sangraho Yam Vibhutinam Tvametam Vipuli Kuru. So Brahmaji is speaking. Now he's addressing Narada Muni. My dear son, Narada is one of the most confidential servants of the Lord and a very powerful son of Lord Brahmaji, born from the intelligence of Brahma. And now Brahmaji is speaking to Narada, explaining how he had heard this science from the Lord directly. Teni Brahmahida Arikabaye, that Krishna spoke this knowledge to Brahma directly. He heard the knowledge from within his heart. The Lord is situated in the hearts of all living beings, and he expands himself in the form of transcendental knowledge. In order to show mercy to the conditioned souls by giving them a clear understanding of how to perform the process of bhakti, or pure bhakti. This science that is given in Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost of all spiritual philosophical teachings, in that it deals only with pure devotional service. Nityasiddha Krishna Prema Saru Kabunai Shravanari Siddhi Chitti Kodiyo Yudai. In the hearts of all living beings, pure love for Krishna is there. And to awaken that pure love is the goal of life. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the means to help us practice that process perfectly. So this great scripture is coming directly from Krishna himself. Now Narada is hearing that knowledge from Brahmaji. He had the class on Sunday, Guru Sadhu Shastra, right? Guru speaks on the basis of Shastra. And Sadhu, their lives and their teachings confirm the principles of Shastra. Shastra is the basis of everything. And Shastra comes from Krishna. Shastra is called Aparusham. Aparusham means it's not made by any man. No one can create Shastra. Sometimes people write books and they come up with ideas, theories, different understandings. But one has to speak in line by what has already been given. One cannot create anything new. Otherwise, it's what we say, asara. Asara means it's useless. Has no real value. So one must understand that Shastra from Guru. Although Guru speaks on the basis of Shastra, as Amir Vilas Maharaj was saying, even when you read Shastra, you can't understand. He used the example that says, no sex life. What is that supposed to mean? You need interpretation by Guru to help you understand that principle according to time, place, and circumstance. There are so many. The scriptures say that all stool is contaminating. But the stool of a cow is pure. Contradiction. But the guru explains, yes, this is the principle of, you know, scripture, that scripture needs to be understood by or explained by the self-realized soul. Otherwise, one can read scripture, and there is some benefit. But unless one realizes scripture through practice underneath the spiritual teacher, one cannot really benefit, get the full benefit of scripture. Therefore, one has to hear this knowledge in succession. And what is this knowledge? It is pure, unalloyed bhakti. Bhakti has come in the form of knowledge. Bhakti has come in the form of the deity. Bhakti has come in the form of the holy name. Bhakti has come in the form of prasadam. Bhakti has come in the form of transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge is the means for freeing oneself from all suffering. When you have knowledge, you don't suffer. When you're in ignorance, you suffer. Someone asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the purpose of your movement? That was the question. What is the purpose of your movement? Prabhupada said, the purpose of our movement is to destroy ignorance within the world. That was Prabhupada's answer. Our purpose of this movement is to destroy, eradicate ignorance in the world. Because everyone, under the bodily conception of life, is ignorant. Therefore, in the ignorance, how can one understand what to do and what not to do? Therefore, people in the world, they do what they're not supposed to do, and they don't do what they're supposed to do. Therefore, we have this problem. Therefore, transcendental knowledge is the means for seeing things clearly and practicing the principles of what we say, freedom. This knowledge will set you free. Everyone wants freedom. How to get freedom? This is the platform of freedom, real freedom. Not the freedom that comes from unrestricted activity. That's not freedom, that's bondage. A child's not free because he's stupid. And therefore, when he does, everything he does, he hurts himself or hurts others or destroys something. So he might run around and do whatever he wants, but he's not free because he's in ignorance. So the living entities, when they do something, whatever they want, that's not freedom. It's another form of child play and so on. Self-destructive. But this knowledge here, this knowledge can bring one to the platform of freedom. Therefore, one must hear carefully this knowledge in disciplic succession. And one must hear this knowledge with rapt attention. One must meditate on this knowledge. One must assimilate this knowledge. One must practice this knowledge. One must discuss this knowledge. One must make this knowledge 24 hours a day one's meditation. And then this knowledge will start to become realized. That knowledge is a person. It's Krishna in the form of transcendental knowledge. Then this knowledge will awaken within us real, real transcendental happiness. So one has to absorb himself. But what is the quality of hearing of this knowledge? If one has to have eagerness. Prabhupada said the quality is intense eagerness to get it. It's not a cheap thing. It's available. Just like Krishna says, I'm teaching you, he says to Arjuna, I'm teaching you this most confidential secret. He's making the secret known to the whole world. How is it a secret if everybody knows it? Can you answer that question? If somebody says, I'm going to tell you in secret, and he writes the secret down, and he distributes the secret all over the world, how is it a secret? It's a secret because only those who have the qualifications can understand it. Therefore, the secret is become qualified and then you'll understand the secret. What is that qualification? The eagerness to achieve it. That is the qualification. And therefore, the principle is to absorb oneself in this knowledge with rapt attention. Prabhupada writes in the first canto, one must hear regularly this knowledge. As we eat to maintain the body and give nourishment, Prabhupada writes in one purport, in Chaitanya Charitamrita in Madhya Lila, chapter 25, verse number 278. Beautiful. That food grains give nourishment to the body and make it stout and strong. But if someone simply eats food grains, but doesn't engage in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, then after some time they will miss the opportunity to achieve eternal transcendental life. He says that. And he explains that one must read all my books. And he names some of the books. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar Devotion, and then whatever other books we have printed, one must read these books. Otherwise, one will miss the chance for eternal transcendental life. This knowledge is very, very powerful because it's Krishna in the form of knowledge. It's Krishna in the form of knowledge. So we need a regular diet of transcendental knowledge and an eagerness to hear. Rapt attention. What is rapt attention? Prabhupada writes in one purport, one cannot have rapt attention unless one is pure in mind. If the mind is not pure, to become rapt, absorbed in something, it's very difficult. Unless you're dying. If you're dying, then you have rapt attention. Because there's nothing else to focus on, right? If you're dying, it's like at the end of life, you're going to be attentive to the holy name. You're going to be attentive to those last few moments that you have on earth. It's not like, okay, you know, I'm going to just all of a sudden, I'll go out and get a new car. And you're not thinking about getting a new car or fixing up your house when you're dying. No. You're thinking about how can I achieve the perfection of these last few moments in life by absorbing myself in the lotus feet of the Lord. So this transcendental knowledge is an opportunity to absorb oneself. So one cannot be pure, one cannot have rapt attention who's not pure in mind. And one cannot be pure in mind if one is not pure in action, Prabhupada says. One has to conduct themselves properly. And Prabhupada says one cannot be pure in action if he's not pure in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. What does it mean to be pure in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending? Is there such thing as pure eating, pure sleeping, pure sex, and pure, you know, defense? What does that mean? It means that it's done as a service to Krishna and not for one's own personal interest. When it's done as a service to Krishna, as a service, then it's pure. And it's pure. We eat in order to maintain the body so we can engage in devotional service. We sleep in order to give the body the required rest in order to engage in devotional service. In household life, there may be some need to raise Krishna conscious, have children and raise them. Krishna says, kamo spi bharatasabha. I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. He said, that sex life, that's me. Non-different. When it's done under regulative principles for the purpose of bringing Krishna-conscious children into the world. Otherwise, it's outside of that principle and therefore it's material. And the last defense, devotees don't defend themselves anyway. That one we don't really worry about so much. Krishna takes care of his devotees. We all make big arrangements for defense. We simply chant the holy name and take shelter of Krishna. So these are these principles, when practiced purely, allow one to absorb oneself in the transcendental sound vibration. Because the mind becomes somewhat peaceful by accepting the needs of the body, not beyond. When we accept more than we need, we suffer. When we accept more than we need, we fall into the lower modes of passion and ignorance. When we accept more than we need, we cannot practice Krishna consciousness successfully. So here, one must hear this science. It's a great science. It's a science, too, just like there are science, various types of sciences in the universities and colleges. This is the science of bhakti. What is the ingredient for science of bhakti? Rupa Goswami explains, what are the ingredients? Every science has particular ingredients that are necessary in order to achieve the equation or the results. What is the first principle of the science of bhakti? Who knows? Enthusiasm. Utsaha. One has to have enthusiastic. One has to be eager for this. Enthusiasm. Enthusiasm, Prabhupada says, crushes anarthas. Anarthas are things that we don't want. And sometimes we see how to get rid of these things. But if we're enthusiastic in the process of devotional service, this enthusiasm immediately rolls over those negativities. We become, what we say, affected by eagerness, enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is so important. And what does Rupa Goswami say? What is the feature of enthusiasm? What is it? To endeavor with intelligence. To use your intelligence on how to execute devotional service. Therefore, Prabhupada said, a devotee is very intelligent. He's intelligent because Maya is very intelligent also. And you have to be smarter than Maya. And if you're not smarter than Maya, in other words, you have to take shelter of Krishna's intelligence and use that intelligence and apply it in your spiritual life. So this endeavoring with intelligence, this is utsaha, enthusiasm, so important. When I was traveling, I was in Croatia. We went to a temple in Zagreb, which is the capital of Croatia. And I met Sachinandana Swami there. He said, Maharaj, we'll do a class tonight, both of us, and we'll speak on enthusiasm. The whole class was on that one topic. That's all it was. We spoke for hours. He spoke, and then I spoke. We both spoke on enthusiasm, giving examples of enthusiasm. He explained, he gave a story, which is really an interesting story. I wish I could remember it. So nice. I'm going to try to remember this story. Bear with me. Story, there was one, this happened in some island in the South Pacific. Some students were listening to the spiritual master speak. And around the area was very green. And there was one tree in the area that had a huge rock on the tree. A big rock. Huge. It was sitting right on the tree. A rock. Sitting right on top of the tree. So one of the students said to the guru, that tree out there, it's unusual. It's got this big rock on it. What is that, Guru Maharaj? The guru started to cry when he heard about that. He remembered. He said, that tree is special. He said, many, many years ago, this whole area is full of forest, and there was one, that tree was there. And I became really angry one day at that tree. The tree had done something, and the guru became angry. So he took this rock and he said, "Here, now live with this rock." And he put it on top of the tree. The tree was small at the time. He wanted to punish the tree by giving it a big rock to hold. Because the tree, you know, the tree's a living being and it has to grow. So when it has extra weight on it, it's like a punishment. So that tree was holding this rock. And therefore, in order to hold the rock and still grow, it had to grow deeper roots. So its roots, naturally, it just went deeper and deeper and deeper into the ground. And one day, a huge windstorm, hurricane came along and blew all the area down, and all the trees were knocked down except that tree. That tree stayed standing amidst the big hurricane. Why? It's because when the tree was given some difficulty, it extended itself and used its power to support the difficulty. And then when some real difficulty came along, its life was threatened, it had the strength to withstand. Beautiful story. It shows that when we take on some difficulty and absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness, our roots go deeper. Our roots become deeper in Krishna consciousness. And in that deep roots, when Maya comes along with so many temptations and so many allurements and so many other things, we're not affected. We're not attracted. We're not even, you know, disturbed. Why? Because we're fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. So how do we become fixed? We deepen our roots in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. That's where the roots, the foundation of the roots, become stronger and stronger. Krishna Katha. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. I was reading some of his answers to questions on various topics. There's one book called Amritavani. And a wonderful book. Various topics by devotees to Bhaktisiddhanta. And the answers. And many of the answers were simply, hear and chant the glories of the Lord. This is where your success lies. This is where your purification lies. This is where your happiness lies. This is where everything lies. Become absorbed, become attached to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is the personification of Krishna Katha. It's the personification of Krishna Katha. When you simply read this, you get pure transcendental knowledge given by pure transcendental personalities. And it goes and it punctures the heart and mind of the conditioned soul with pure nectar. And gradually, even if we hear a little, we want to hear more, but even if we hear a little, it has effect. It's powerful. Just like if you take a drop of pure sugar, it's only a drop, but because it's pure sugar, it's really sweet and concentrated in that little drop. You may take a drop and mix it with water. You may take 10 drops and mix it with water and pollute the purity, the concentratedness, and it won't be as sweet as that one drop which is concentrated. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is concentrated nectar. Concentrated, pure nectar of the glories of the Sri Personality of God. And Prabhupada says this Bhagavatam is only a few verses. It's all. In fact, it's only 4 verses. It's coming up in the same canto. Chapter 9, verses 32, 33, 34, and 35 of chapter 9. When you get to that chapter, there's 4 verses. It's called the nutshell verses. In these 4 verses, these were the verses that Brahmaji heard from Krishna. And he expanded this knowledge based on those four verses. Everything is in those four verses. So how can you, you know, because this is, it's like Krishna's name. Krishna's name is five letters, but in that name is everything. Everything's in the name of Krishna. The form of Krishna is there. The qualities of Krishna are there. The pastimes of Krishna is there. Everything contained within the Absolute Truth is found in the name Krishna. Concentrated, pure nectar in the form of sound. Like that. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is also, it's a sutra, but it expands and expands and expands. Those who know the science of sutras can just expand that knowledge and take one word and make hundreds of books out of one word. Yeah. Just take one word from a sutra and expand it unlimitedly. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He was speaking on the first verse. What is it? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janma Yasya Yataha. The first verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, he spoke 2 months, continuously, every day, for hours, on the first verse. He didn't have a purport to work with either. He created his own purport. Yeah, from that one verse, spoke on 2 months. It was in Dhaka, 1931, 32, something like that. Spoke on that. It's one verse. Unlimited. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam. So when we hear this knowledge from the transcendental personalities who have realized this knowledge in the form of their life is a living representation of the knowledge that they're speaking to us. Just like if someone asks about you, you can tell them all about yourself, right? Because you know yourself. Transcendental personalities, they can tell everything about Krishna, because Krishna and their life is synonymous. Synonymous. So this is concentrated nectar in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is the last verse in the Bhagavatam? What is the last verse in the Bhagavatam? Anybody know? 13th chapter of the 12th canto, what verse is that? Verse number 20, I forgot, 25 or 26, the last verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. I wish I had the 12th canto with me. The last verse glorifies Harinam Sankirtan. That's the last verse. After glorifying Krishna in so many ways, it ends with the ultimate principle of glorification of Krishna, Sri Krishna's Sankirtanam. And that came before Lord Chaitanya appeared. Bhagavatam is eternal. The last verse in Bhagavatam is the glorification of the holy name in the form of the Harinam Sankirtan movement. Now this is concentrated nectar given to us by the acharyas. If we simply enthusiastically hear this message, all our anxieties, difficulties, problems, mental gymnastics that always are attacking us at every moment will be gone. You want to bring in the light? You want to get rid of the darkness? Bring in the light. Don't try to chase darkness out. How can you chase darkness out? You need something to counteract darkness. You need light. If something is negative, bring in the positive. Don't try to solve the negative with something negative. Prabhupada said, just like, give you an example. Husband and wife, they have so many problems, right? You know, because they're so close to each other. They're with each other all the time. So they get to know each other. When they get to know each other, they get familiar. When they get familiar, they see faults. And then when they see faults, they start criticizing and arguing and sometimes like that. So, problems. So, how do you solve that? Prabhupada said, just forget it. Just forget it. So, just forget it. That's all. You having a problem with somebody? Forget it. You having this problem? Forget it. Just focus on the positive, and you'll see your problems. Oh, right? This is Krishna causes. So, take the medicine, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, all the problems are gone. Finished. Guaranteed. And what happens? We actually develop a taste and an attraction. A taste for Krishna consciousness and an attraction for Krishna. This is crazy. It's transcendental knowledge. So powerful. So potent. Even one word, Prabhupada said, one word. The unlimited meaning. One verse. He said one verse takes 1 month to understand. He said that to the devotees. One verse takes 1 month to understand. So we're reading a verse a day, right? Are we understanding that verse? Sometimes we think, well, I don't know what else to say on that verse. I said everything. Prabhupada said it takes 1 month to understand one verse. 18,000 verses times 1 month, how many years is that? I know the answer, but I just think we have some good calculating minds in here. Prabhupada did the same thing, yeah. He asked his devotees. 1,500 years. So Prabhupada said, you have enough to read. One verse. Yeah. If you take one verse and just read it every day, study it, research it, try to understand it, you become perfect just on one verse. It's powerful. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, any questions? Comments? Some say we should study the Goswami's literature. Well, what does Prabhupada say? What does the Guru say? You read Prabhupada's books, you know the answer. He said satsandarbhas, he said we should translate them in English and study them. The sandarbhas he did. He said specifically the satsandarbha. That's why there was two or three devotees have given translations on that and commentaries. Whether they're authorized, some are authorized and some are not. But still, Prabhupada wanted that. He said we should translate all of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books and read those. He wanted us to read Bhaktivinoda. He didn't want us to read Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati so much. He said, you can get Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati through me. But Bhaktivinoda, he wanted us to read, study. Rupa Goswami's, he presented us with Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Upadeshamrita, like that. No, he commissioned certain devotees to do that service, to translate books. But not if you're going to go into Jayadev's Gita Govinda, that's not the idea. Or if you're going to go into, Raghunath Das Goswami, some of his works. Then very deep esoteric Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Madhurya Kandambini, yes. That's an important work to understand and to discuss. We don't have enough time. Okay, we're not all pundits, we cannot all sit down all the time. We have so many services to do. But we should develop an eagerness to hear this message and take time to read What was Amir Vilas Maharaj was saying on Sunday? 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. Right? You can choose between one and five, which one you want, but do at least one. Last night I sat down, I was thinking, I'm going to read another book. And I looked at my library and I had so many books that I didn't read. So I was tempted to read certain things, which were not directly Krishna conscious, but were for good for preaching. And I said, no, I'm going to read Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And I decided to read the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And I felt satisfied. Any questions, Mataji? You look like you have a question. No. Yeah, that's hearing is reading is hearing, and hearing, of course, is hearing. But there is a different quality of reception. Both have their advantage. When you hear the sound vibration spoken by the pure devotee, it's very powerful. When you read the sound vibration spoken by the pure devotee, it's also equally powerful. But sometimes we respond more to one type than another, depending on the individual. Now when we read, we can reflect, we can go back over, we can research. When we hear, the sound is coming, and we're just hearing. Both are good. But I think we should read also. Take some time to read. Prabhupada said, you know, we're so busy with our problems, we can't think about Krishna. So Prabhupada said, become savagrahi. Is it sahagrahi? Sahagrahi. Sahagrahi means go for the essence. We waste time with the negative all the time. This, that, this, that, this, that, this. We're just wasting our minds on so many unnecessary things. Just go for the essence. Chant the glories of the Lord. Associate with devotees. Dance. You know, that's the essence. This is what gives us life. It gives us enthusiasm. This gives us Krishna consciousness. We're always, Prabhupada saying, you know, we have so many problems. Just forget about them. Just forget. They're not important. If you don't pay attention to them for a while, they go away. When you give them attention, sometimes you're trying to solve them for years and you still can't figure them out. Apply the medicine. What is this? Sahagrahi? Go for the essence. There's one bird. It's called a male hen. A male hen. So he's looking for the food for his babies. So he goes into the garbage, looking for the seeds and the grains in the garbage. So he's going amidst the garbage, but he's taking out only the nectar within the garbage. He doesn't take the garbage. So much garbage is there. He's going only for the grains and nectar. So devotees are like that. We're not interested in the garbage. Let the garbage be for the garbage men. We're interested in the nectar. Go for the nectar. If we go for the nectar, we'll become like nectar. If we go for the garbage, we become like garbage. Hear and chant the glories of the Lord. This is the nectar. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.